Awesome. Well, I am still continuing our series on miracles of God this morning. And because Daniel always starts with a story, I thought I should start with a story. So this week I took my kids to the zoo because we ended up with custody of my son's class mascot. That, you know, has anyone ever had a kid in school who brings home a plush toy and you have to take photos of the plush toy doing fun activities, and then it's like a mum competition in the book because the kids don't stick the pictures in the book. The mums print the pictures out and stick them in the book, and then it's basically a competition of which mum is a better mum. Yeah, so I took my kids to the zoo with my zoo passes. So I look like a good parent because we go on adventures during the week most of the time. Never. Anyway, we had a great time. My kids, the zoo is one of those places where you just like lose time, but it's also actually very easy parenting once you get there because you can just let them wander around and eat snacks and eat dirt. And we had a nugget stolen by a seagull. It was a great time. Giddy keeps telling everyone about the seagull that stole our nugget. It was very aggressive. Like I was holding the nuggets here and it like came and anyway, it was a lot. Naturally, by the end of our day at the zoo, Gideon had a lot of questions about a lot of animals. And so we then spent the rest of the afternoon Googling answers to questions because I know nothing about animals, absolutely nothing. Spoiler alert, we're talking about Daniel today. So here's some lion facts for you. That's a very good segue. But anyway, so did you know that, I found this very interesting, male lions can weigh up to 190 kilograms. It was large. Large. Female lions up to 126 kilograms. I don't know how they got the six. That was 120. Anyway, it's very specific. Most male lions grow impressive manes the older they get. These manes grow up to 16 centimetres long and are a sign of dominance. So, you know, men, keep your beards. That's fine. Lion tongues have sharp pointed rasps called papillae, which are used to scrape meat off the bones of their prey. Ew. Ow. Gross. That little fact gave me a whole fresh respect for Daniel when he landed in that lion's den. When they hunt, lions hunt in packs and they don't bother killing their prey first. I'm very sorry for the graphicness of this. They just go straight in. And so if you are thrown into a den with a bunch of angry lions, you are going to feel all of those sharp pointed rasps pulling you apart. Hey, what a nice story. I should do that more often. More stories more often. Anyway, like I said, we are talking about Daniel and the lion's den this morning. And that little bit of like, this is how my brain works. Oh, lions. Oh, sharp pointy tongues. Oh, ow, Daniel. It just shows you how chaotic my brain is. But it gave me a fresh respect, like I said, for Daniel's fearlessness, or more to the point, faithfulness in the situation he was facing. So we are going to read the entire story of Daniel this morning. And like I did when I spoke about the story of Lazarus, there's a couple of key points that I want to pull out at the end. But if you turn to Daniel chapter 6, I will give you a little bit of context about where we're at. We are obviously a little bit into the story of Daniel. And basically what happened is that Jerusalem was besieged by King Nebuchadnezzar, and the remaining Israelites were exiled into Babylon. And the king requests that those who had been a part of the Israelite noble courts be brought into a special training program to learn Babylonian culture, basically to become part of his service. We learn specifically about Daniel and three of his buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which are not their original names, mind you. These are names given to them that were changed by the king of Babylon. who make a name for themselves by remaining faithful to God and the call that he has on their lives throughout their service because of the application of the gifts that God gave them. So in Daniel 1, we learn that God gave them gifts of wisdom and understanding, and specifically to Daniel, the ability to interpret dreams and visions. And like I said, because they applied these gifts diligently, the four buddies, all four of them, excelled in their service to the kingdom of Babylon and were increasingly promoted into high position. At the beginning of chapter 6, we find Daniel, now aged, having served in Babylon for about 70 years. He is now serving under his third king and sitting in quite a high ranking. He is among the three most regarded noblemen in the entire kingdom of Babylon. So this guy who was pulled out of, and basically for the Babylonians, the Israelites were their enemies. He was pulled out of there, brought up in their culture, remains noble and true and faithful to his God, but has incredible power over the Babylonian people and an incredible pull with the Babylonian kings. And so we start in Daniel chapter 6. So the new king, Darius, it pleased him to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. So like I said, top three. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. So he started at number three, where we are now, and then was basically going to be promoted to second in charge under the king. Which means the king really liked him. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government matters, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the laws of his God." Daniel stood out from all the other rulers, all the other noblemen, all the other people who were semi-important in Babylon, because God had gifted him with wisdom, knowledge, and the ability to interpret visions. He used those gifts diligently in the service of that kingdom, which wasn't even his own. Under each of the kings that he served, Daniel continued to succeed as he remained steadfast in the anointing God gave to him. He didn't hide his gifts away. So much so that when his enemies conspired against him, they tried to dig up some skeletons, some, you know, bad relationships, some lies that he'd told, some bad friendships, you know, a couple of nights out that had gone south, some ill-advised social media posts. There was nothing, absolutely nothing to be found, not just because social media didn't exist. There was not a single bad thing about his character that they could hold against him. And he wasn't like 12. He'd been serving in this kingdom for 70 years. What an amazing life to have lived. For people to go digging and not have a single thing to bring up about you. To walk a life that is so steadfast, in step, aligned with God's will for your life, that when someone goes looking for something to pin on you, they can only make something up. Daniel's enemies knew that in order to bring him down, they were going to have to undermine his integrity through lies and deceit, because he was faithful to his God through and through, and faithful to the position that he had been put in by the king. We'll continue reading. The administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, "O Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den."
Now, let me just make a point here. In order for something to have been passed, like it says here, all of the governors and advisors had to agree. Daniel did not agree. These guys knew that the only way to catch Daniel out was to catch him praying, doing something religious, and to have outlawed that. And so they lied. So they went to the king and they said, "We all of us, agree." But clearly Daniel didn't. They lied about Daniel. He was unaware, and this blatant lie is used to bring him down. So the king issued the decree and put it in writing so that it could not be altered, in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. The decree that was given was that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days. 30 days. When I was a kid, I was just like, and we read this story and we studied it in Bible, like in, kids' church, and I watched the VeggieTales videos and I got that song stuck in my head. Oh no, what we gonna do? The king likes Daniel more than me. Anyway, yeah, my kids watch VeggieTales and now they're all stuck in my head again. I just assumed it was a decree forevermore. But actually, it was a decree for a period of 30 days. Daniel was so faithful that he wouldn't even go 30 days without praying to God. How often do we try and find a loophole to get out of something, anything? This morning I got up early and I read over my sermon, which is what I normally do, and then I was like, oh, I could go to the gym. I don't want to go to the gym. Maybe if I go for a run later, then I don't have to go to the gym this morning. And then, like, you negotiate with yourself, right? You're like, if I do this now, then I don't have to do this later. Daniel was presented with a loophole. If he could just not pray for 30 days, and then he can get back on with life, praying to God, doing all of his normal things, just 30 days. 1 month, less than a month if it was August. Because 31 days, 30 days, anyway, yep, cool. Seeing who's awake. 30 days. But immediately on hearing the decree that was published, he went and prayed. He sought intimacy with God. He was resolute in his faithfulness, even in the face of death by 1,000 tiny prongs on a lion's tongue. Daniel would not change his habit of prayer for anything. Three times a day, in private, facing his homeland, not a spectacle. It wasn't a grand defiance of the king's decree, but a resolve to intimacy with his God under any circumstance. We'll continue reading. So Daniel is praying in his room, and these men went as a group and found Daniel praying, asking God for help. They knew exactly where he would be. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree that you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to do so. Remember, Darius liked Daniel. This isn't just a king who's got it out for this guy. Darius was deceived into writing a decree that basically put his favorite dude to death. The guy that he was going to set over the whole kingdom. He knew Daniel. He trusted Daniel. He would have known of Daniel's faith, and he realized that his ego had gotten in the way when he made that decree. Of course Daniel didn't agree. When they came and said, we all agree, of course Daniel hadn't agreed. But Darius was only considering his own position. He was greatly distressed. Verse 15. Then the men went as a group to the king and said to him, remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. The king had done everything in his power, short of undermining himself and weakening his position as king. He had done everything else. And then, finally, he went, hey, Daniel, maybe that God that you pray to all the time, maybe he can save you. Even Darius is hopeful that God will save his faithful servant. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and the rings of his nobles so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. He was real keen. When he came near the den, he called out to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And then Daniel was lifted from the den. No wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. That's them done. And before they reached the floor of the den, 190 kilos of lion had overpowered them and crushed all of their bones. Lovely. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, may you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Once again, this miracle brings glory to God. It reveals God's miracle-working power, his glory, his dominion to those who don't believe in him, to the point where the king of Babylon, the enemy of the Israelites, declares God's goodness and tells Daniel to ask his God to save him. This is a story of faithfulness. Daniel was resolute in his faith and his intimacy with God. and he would not sacrifice that even in the face of death. Not even for 30 days. The miracle is that God closed the mouths of the lions and Daniel went unharmed, and God's glory was seen by the entire Babylonian people. I have always read this story somewhat envious of Daniel's faithfulness. I don't know about anybody else. Wow. To be that Christian that you can go and read your Bible even in the face of death. How good Daniel must be. Oh, Daniel, what a cool guy. Such upright character and standing. Never done anything wrong. Never stepped a foot wrong. Never said something bad about someone. Never told a lie that he got caught in so that they could bring it back up and put it on him. But there's an element to this story that I think brings a fresh revelation to the character of Daniel and to the power of this miracle. And it's not just in the fact that Daniel was saved, but it was in the fact that Daniel's faithfulness wasn't just his own, but it was fortified by the Spirit of God on him. That same Spirit is in us. And we have the opportunity to experience that same faithfulness, that same integrity, that same godliness in our everyday, in the face of our lions, metaphorical. The faithfulness that Daniel had to pursue God in the face of persecution, even death by lion tongues, can be ours too. I'm going to break down this thought in three parts. So if you're taking notes, part one is that the Spirit of God was on Daniel. Now, before Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit became available and active in all believers, we see through the Old Testament that the Lord sent his Spirit on and in people for specific purposes and in specific times, always for his glory. We see that the Ark of the Covenant is built by people who have been given the Spirit of God for creativity and beauty and all of these things. And then in Daniel 1, we read, where are we? Daniel 1. It says that to these four young men, Daniel and his three buddies, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. God gifted them for the season that they were in. He gave them the ability to have words of knowledge, to prophesy, to have discernment. These are all gifts of the Spirit, right? And we know that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we know that the gifts and the character of God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so the same gifts that were given of the Spirit in the Old Testament are the same gifts that are available to us today. When Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, those are their original names, were placed in the Babylonian courts, the Spirit of God came on them in order that they would serve the Babylonian kings, but ultimately that these gifts would be used to bring glory to God. Nebuchadnezzar declared praise to God when Daniel interpreted his dream. And when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of that furnace unscathed with a fourth man standing in the fire, Nebuchadnezzar made decrees that the God of these men, the one true God, was to be praised. God's gifting on Daniel was so evident and set him apart that his colleagues wanted to bring him down. Even the people of Babylon recognized God's Spirit was in Daniel. In Daniel chapter 5, we read about a blasphemous feast that was being happening. and the king, Belshazzar, is shocked when suddenly a hand appears writing on the wall, and he calls in all of his noblemen and all of his spiritual people, blah, blah, whoever. None of them can make sense of it. And then the queen says this: "Here is a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods in him. In the time of your father, he found to have insight and intelligence and wisdom like that of the gods. King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, appointed him chief of the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners." Daniel was seen as gifted by God, not the gods, little g, that all of these other diviners and spiritual people claimed to have knowledge of, but of the one true God. Daniel was set apart. God set his spirit on Daniel, in Daniel, for this season, so that his glory would continue to be seen through and by his people, even when they were exiled in a foreign land, and so that the enemies of God would see the glory of God, even when they tried to tear his people down. Part two of this thought is that Daniel's faithfulness is fortified by the Spirit. Faithfulness is a characteristic of God himself. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, it says, "It is because of the Lord's loving kindness that we are not consumed, because his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great and beyond measure is your faithfulness, God." Yes, we as humans can be faithful. But our faithfulness, like all other traits, is flawed and fallible. It's conditioned. It's very easy to fall on a loophole with our kind of level of faithfulness. That's not to say that we shouldn't strive for faithfulness, but to strive for a godly trait, the pursuit of a godly trait by a sinful nature, is pretty futile. Unless that trait is freely given to us by God, which, thanks to Galatians 5, we know that faithfulness is. In Galatians, we read about the fruit of the Spirit, which essentially are the character attributes of God. It's the fruit that is seen when we act out of the Spirit's indwelling in us. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires and willing for loopholes. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." It is the Holy Spirit in us that enables this fruit, that enables us to look like God. And while Daniel, at the beginning of his ministry in Babylon, resolved himself to the things of God, I suspect that the Spirit on him, the Spirit in him, really helped along the way. When those loopholes came up, when those challenges came, when his three friends got thrown into a fiery furnace, the humanity in him would have gone, "Oh, we'll be faithful tomorrow." So there's this fun kind of loophole that we get, different type of loophole, where God in us helps us pursue God in us. Right? The Spirit in us helps us pursue faithfulness to God. And we go round and round and round. These characteristics of God are freely given to us by the presence of the Spirit in us. Characteristics of Christ, which is why we are Christians. Little Christs. In partnership with the Spirit, we get to pursue God's character traits and example them to those around us, just like Daniel did. Daniel was a faithful man, but the Spirit was on him, bolstering, fortifying, taking that faithfulness to a level that exampled to others, not just that Daniel was a good guy, but that God's glory was on Daniel. And part three of this thought is that that same faithfulness is available to us today. God, like I said before, is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and his character does not change. The fruit of relationship with God is exactly the same. The envy that I feel towards Daniel's character, so upstanding, so perfect, so just, I don't know, good. What a good guy. Integrity, faithfulness, self-control. I don't need to be envious. At the end of this chapter in Galatians, it says, let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. If I am envious of Daniel, who has the fruit of the Spirit on his life, then maybe it's not that I haven't been given that fruit, it's that I am not trusting God with that fruit in my life. I shouldn't be envious of Daniel. I should be checking my own heart, checking my own walk with the Spirit, checking what I'm holding back from God, what I'm not letting the Spirit do. Those same traits that Daniel had are completely accessible for me because of the presence of the Spirit in me. So long as I, like Daniel, crucify my sinful desires, don't take up the 30-day loopholes, and lock in on intimacy with God. Daniel remained faithful and pursued intimacy with God, even if it meant the end for him. And when we are faced with a challenge, do we do the same? The human fix to that situation would be to look at that decree and go, 30 days of not praying, then we go back to real life. Not a problem. I can do that in my strength. But the godly solution, the little Christ solution, is to remain faithful and pursue intimacy with God no matter how many lion tongues you are up against. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 10, it says, I'll start verse 2. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, take every effort to add to your faith. So start with faith. And then add goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. And if you receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We need to strive for spiritual maturity. When we look at someone like Daniel and go, oh man, he was so faithful. He was so resolute that what he needed in that situation was intimacy with God. Oh man, I wish I was like that. That's not about how good Daniel is. That's about how good God is. And if I feel like I'm missing out on God, it's definitely not because God is absent from my life. It's because I am not choosing to pursue Christ in that moment. If I feel out of control, if I don't feel peace, if I don't feel loving, if I am lacking in the face of a situation, it's not because God is not good. It's not because the Spirit isn't present in me. It's because I am not choosing to walk with God. I am not choosing intimacy with God. Sorry, more to the point. It's because I'm looking for the loophole. What's going to make me feel better in this situation? Oh, I don't feel very peaceful. I'll just go for a run so I clear my brain. It's good, but it's a loophole. What's really going to calm your mind is the peace that comes from the Spirit, the peace that comes from the Prince of Peace. When we endure hardship, when we're up against it, and our character is revealed as godly, it's not just that the situation is made better for us, but it's that God's glory is made known to those around us. God saved Daniel from death by lion, as Gideon would say, by putting the lions to sleep. And that was a miracle. But Daniel's resolve to pursue God led to him being put in that position. And that faithfulness in and of itself is a miracle too. We get the opportunity to experience miracles in our everyday, not just the big stuff, not just saved from lions, healings, resurrections, new jobs, amazing miracle finance. But the fact that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us and we are gifted with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and in living those out, we bring glory to God. Those are things that only come from God. And the definition of a miracle is something that only God can do. So there are little miracles in our everyday that don't look like much, but that look like the glory and the character of God on this earth as we endure. I'm going to close with this. In the face of having been backstabbed, lied about, essentially forgotten by the king that apparently loved him and was going to put him in charge, and then being thrown into a pit of lions, Daniel chose at all times faithfulness to God. He was anointed for the time he was in and empowered by the Holy Spirit in him to pursue faithfulness. Despite the situation that you find yourself facing, joblessness, illness, anxiety, depression, the death of a loved one, the illness of a loved one, things just not going right. You have been anointed by God for your season, and you are empowered by the Holy Spirit to pursue faithfulness and love and joy and peace, all of the characteristics of God in you through the Spirit. Don't let your sinful nature take the loophole. Lock in on intimacy with God in this season. And maybe you're not in the midst of a crisis. That's also good. Daniel was not always in the midst of a crisis, but his habit was that he prayed 3 times a day in the same place, good days, bad days, everything in between. His every need was catered for. He lived in the noblemen's houses. He was well respected in a thriving kingdom, but he prayed continually. He was known for praying continually. So this is the lesson. Even if you're not in the midst of a crisis, build a life of faithfulness that is so predictable that even when something does come your way, everyone will know exactly where to find you. In prayer, at the Father's feet. Be bolstering your faithfulness through prayer in the quiet seasons so that when the hard seasons come, when you're facing down a lion's den, the loophole isn't even an option. Your immediate response is to go straight to God. Remain steadfast in faithfulness, even as we are thrown to a pack of lions, to be able to do that is a miracle. God's character in us is a miracle. The fact that sin doesn't overpower us at every turn is a miracle. The beautiful loophole that God has given us for making it through this life, that His Spirit in us enables us to pursue His Spirit in us. And so, when we are up against it, whatever persecution, sickness, ailment, pain, sorrow that we face, pursue intimacy with God. Remain faithful to Him. Cool? Lord God, I thank You for Your Spirit over Daniel. Lord God, I thank You for Your faithfulness, for his faithfulness, Lord God. I thank You that You have given us Your Spirit and that we have the ability, Lord God, to continue to pursue You in the face of whatever it is that we are up against. Lord God, I thank You for Your glory. I thank You for Your righteousness, and I thank You that You have given us the ability to have relationship with You. Lord God, I thank You for sending Your Spirit to be on each and every one of us as we endure life until we are in heaven with You again. Lord God, I thank You for who You are and that Your Spirit living in us enables us to be little versions of Christ. I pray that in every situation You will help us to pursue God, to pursue Christ-likeness and to pursue Your character, and to not fall into the temptation of sin, taking the loopholes, taking the easy way out, Lord God, but that we will remain steadfast in our faithfulness to You and Your plan. Amen. Amen. God is good, hey? Well, that is it for today's service. If there is anything that you would like prayer for, the altar, the area up the front, is always open, and the ministry team would love to pray with you. But otherwise, go and grab yourself a coffee and have a chat with someone, make some plans to catch up during the week. Have a great day.